Okay, so you're probably working on something big, right? Maybe you're about to launch a new project or pitch a big idea. Or, hey, maybe you're even working on that big dream goal you've been thinking about for ages. But whatever it is, let's be real for a second. Anytime you put yourself out there, criticism kind of comes with the territory, right?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the deal.
But here's the thing. What if instead of dreading all that feedback, we could actually like use it to make things even better?
That's what we're going to try to figure out today.
Yeah, exactly. So we're diving deep into this book, Criticism, Why It Hurts, and What to Do About It.
It's funny, we tend to think of criticism as like this purely negative thing.
It can feel like a punch in the gut sometimes.
Yeah, but it really can be this super powerful tool for growth.
For sure.
So the key is understanding why it hits us so hard in the first place.
Well, the book goes right into like the evolutionary reason for that. And it goes way back, like, think caveman days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Being rejected by your tribe back then could literally mean getting kicked out into the wilderness alone. Yikes.
Surrounded by saber-toothed tigers.
Not ideal.
No, not a good situation.
No.
And even though we're not dodging prehistoric predators anymore, that primal fear of rejection, it's like still wired into us.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So when someone criticizes something that we've poured our heart and soul
It
into,
can feel like an attack.
it can feel really personal, yeah.
And, in a way, it is personal
Yeah.
because we're so invested.
Totally.
But the book makes this interesting point. Maybe a little criticism is actually a good thing.
Oh.
When everything's going great and you're succeeding, it's easy to get a little, maybe too confident.
Over confident.
Yeah. So criticism can be a good way to bring you back down to earth.
A reality check.
Yeah. Remind us we're all a work in progress.
Absolutely, I love that.
So even if it's a bit unpleasant at first, criticism can open our eyes to different
There are
perspectives.
ways of looking at things.
Yeah. And it can help us see where we can improve, maybe even teach us to handle our emotions a little better. Yeah. And those are skills you can take with you way beyond just one project or situation.
Totally.
Okay. So this next part is where it gets really interesting for me,
Oh,
resilience.
yeah. Good one.
The book really dives into how resilient people are not only better at handling criticism, but they also tend to be happier
Interesting.
and more successful overall.
That makes sense.
It's almost like they have this secret superpower
Yeah, it is kind of like
that
that.
helps them navigate all the ups and downs.
And the good news is, resilience isn't something you're just born with. It's more like you can build it up.
So it's like a muscle you can train,
Exactly, with the right strategies.
hitting the mental gym. Okay, so let's hear some of those resilience building strategies.
The book lays out a whole bunch, but I'll give you a few of the standout ones.
Awesome.
First, surround yourself with supportive people.
Your crew.
Yeah. Ditch those energy vampires who just bring you down, you know?
Yeah, I think we all know a few of those.
Second, reframe change as opportunity. Now, I know that's easier said than done,
Oh, yeah.
but it really can shift your whole perspective.
Big time.
And lastly, focus your energy on finding solutions instead of just dwelling on problems.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, wait a minute. The book also talks about mindfulness,
Oh, yeah.
being present in the moment without judging yourself. What's that got to do with resilience?
Well, mindfulness is like hitting the pause button on that inner voice,
Right.
one that's constantly criticizing.
Oh, yeah.
You notice the thought, but you don't let it take over. So it can really help you separate yourself from the sting of criticism.
Detach a little.
Yeah, and see things more objectively.
Okay, so we're building up that resilience muscle.
Right.
But the book makes it clear that not all criticism is created equal.
Yeah.
They use this boxing
Oh,
analogy.
interesting.
You can't defend yourself if you don't know the rules of the game.
True.
Right.
That's where critical thinking comes in.
Critical thinking.
Yeah, it's about analyzing the feedback you get, figuring out what's actually valuable and what's just noise, and ultimately thinking for yourself instead of blindly taking every critique at face value.
So, how do we actually get better at critical thinking? Any tips?
Well, the best thing you can do is become a true expert in your field.
Okay.
The more you know, the better you'll be able to judge if the criticism you're getting is valid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Reading reviews, like really breaking them down, can be helpful too.
Okay.
It helps you figure out what makes a good review or a bad one.
I like that.
And don't be afraid to debate. Engaging with different viewpoints can really sharpen your thinking.
Awesome. Okay, so we're getting good at filtering out the noise. But speaking of critics, the book gets really interesting here. It talks about different types of critics.
Oh, yeah, they're all out there.
And let's be real, you've probably encountered every single one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We all have. So There are the irrelevant critics,
yeah.
the inner critic, and then the gold standard, the constructive critic. Understanding what motivates each of them is super important for handling criticism in the best way possible.
I'm ready to break it all down. Let's start with those irrelevant critics. Who are they exactly?
Okay, so think of them as the people who offer criticism, but they don't really have any expertise in the area they're criticizing.
Got it.
Or they have some kind of ulterior motive. Maybe they're trying to hold you back for their own benefit. Or maybe they just like to rain on everyone's parade.
We all know that person.
Right. So how do you deal with them?
Yeah. Is it best to just ignore them?
Yeah, pretty much. Their criticism is rarely going to be helpful because often their negativity comes from their own issues, their own insecurities. So don't let it get to you. Focus on feedback that comes from people who actually know what they're talking about and actually want to see you succeed.
Makes sense. Okay, now let's talk about that critic who's always there, the one living rent-free inside our heads, the inner critic.
Oh, yeah. The master of self-doubt. This one can be tricky to deal with because it feels like it's your own voice.
It really does, yeah.
Right.
Like it's coming from inside you.
The book highlights that the inner critic isn't really there to help you succeed.
Oh.
It's all about keeping you safe and comfortable.
Even if that means staying stuck.
Exactly.
I've definitely been there. So what are some of the inner critic's favorite tactics?
Oh, ruminating on past failures is a big one. It's that voice that keeps replaying those mistakes over and over, trying to chip away at your confidence.
Yeah.
Then there's the constant negative self-talk, putting yourself down, always focusing on what could go wrong. That's a recipe for getting stuck, for sure.
So true. How do we silence that voice? It can be so loud sometimes.
You remember that mindfulness thing we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Hitting the pause button? That's key. Notice those negative thoughts without letting them sweep you away. And here's the important part. You have to challenge those thoughts.
Oh.
Ask yourself, is this really true? Is this thought helping me in any way?
Mm.
More often than not, they're based on fear, not facts.
So we're fact-checking our own thoughts.
Exactly. You're taking back control from that inner critic.
I like that.
All right, now let's move on to the kind of criticism we do want in our lives. Constructive criticism. This is feedback from people who actually know their stuff and genuinely want to help you improve.
Those are the people we want in our corner.
Right. No, it might not always be easy to hear, but it's pure gold.
So what makes constructive criticism so valuable? What should we look for?
It's all about intention.
Hmm.
Constructive criticism comes from someone who wants to see you do well.
Yeah.
It's specific, it tells you what to do, and it focuses on your growth.
Not on tearing you down.
Exactly.
It's like having a mentor in your corner, someone who's actually invested in your journey.
That's a great way to put it. And when you get this kind of criticism, it's important to handle it the right way.
Yeah, for sure.
The book stresses the importance of really listening, making sure you understand what the person is saying, and showing appreciation. Because remember, it takes courage to offer honest feedback.
Oh, absolutely.
So acknowledge the effort they're making.
Yeah, I love that. It takes guts, to be honest, even when you're trying to be helpful.
For sure.
Okay, so we've talked about the different types of criticism, but what about actually dealing with it, you know, in real time?
Mm.
When those critiques start flying and you feel yourself getting defensive, what do you do?
The book actually offers a really helpful step-by-step process for this.
Okay, good.
It's all about taking a potentially stressful situation and turning it into a chance to grow.
I love that.
So it's like having a game plan.
Yeah. Lay it on me. I'm ready for this game plan.
Okay. So step one is figuring out what type of criticism you're dealing with in the first place. Is it irrelevant? Is it your inner critic acting up? Or is it actually constructive?
Okay. So we're sorting out the wheat from the chaff. Got it. What's next?
Step two is to really listen. Really pay attention to what the person is saying and don't be afraid to ask questions to make sure you understand their point.
Clarify, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about step three? This is where it gets tricky, right? Responding to the criticism without getting defensive.
It can be, but here's the key. Even if the feedback is tough to swallow, try to express gratitude. Remember, it takes courage to give honest feedback, so acknowledge that. And then, this is important. Give yourself some time to process everything. You don't have to respond right away.
Okay, so breathe, let it sink in, and then what? Just accept it and move on.
Not quite. This is where you come up with a plan for how you're going to use the feedback. If it's constructive, think about specific steps you can take to improve.
No. Okay.
And don't be shy about going back to the person for more feedback as you work on things.
So it's an ongoing dialogue.
Yeah, it's about turning criticism into a learning experience.
I love that. Because honestly, even the most successful people in the world, they've faced tons of criticism.
Absolutely. It's just part of the journey.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in our own little world and think we're the only ones going through these challenges.
Right.
But everyone, from artists to entrepreneurs to athletes, has had to figure out how to deal with criticism.
Oh, for sure.
It's just part of the deal.
And now you've got the knowledge and strategies to handle it, and even better, use it to your advantage.
I love that. And that's it for part one of our deep dive on criticism. Before we jump into part two, I'm curious, what's resonating with you the most so far?
For me, it's that reminder that we have more control over how we react to criticism than we might think.
Yeah, I love that.
And that building up that resilience is key. It's like having this inner shield that helps you deflect the negativity and just keep moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. And building on that idea of resilience, I want to leave you with this. Think about how you can actually seek out more constructive criticism in your life.
Oh, that's good.
It might sound counterintuitive.
Yep, a little bit.
But sometimes the best way to grow is to invite feedback, even if it feels a bit uncomfortable at first.
Got it.
All right, chew on that for a bit, and we'll be back in part two to explore how we can all become more effective critics ourselves. Stay tuned.
Looking forward to it.
No.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about how to actually turn criticism into something that helps us grow instead of something we just dread. And you know, the book brings up this really interesting point that even criticism that seems like totally off base, completely irrelevant, can still teach us something useful.
Hold on, wait. How can bad criticism actually be good? That seems kind of backwards.
It all comes down to those critical thinking skills we were talking about. When you come across criticism that's obviously biased or uninformed or just plain mean, it actually forces you to use your brain.
Oh.
If they analyze the feedback and think about the critic's motives and ultimately decide for yourself whether there's any truth to it.
So it's like a workout for my BS detector.
Exactly. You're building that ability to tune out the noise and focus on the feedback that can actually help you get better.
I'm starting to see how that could be helpful. The more you practice, the better you get at recognizing good criticism and separating it from the unhelpful stuff.
Exactly. And that ties back into what we were saying about becoming a real expert in your field, right?
Yeah, right.
The more you know, the better you'll be at evaluating criticism and deciding if it's valid.
It's like you have this solid base to stand on.
Yeah. You can compare the feedback to your own knowledge and experience and figure out if it lines up with the best practices and standards in your field.
So knowledge really is power, especially when it comes to dealing with criticism. It's like having this inner confidence that lets you say, okay, I hear you, but based on what I know, I'm going to do things a bit differently.
Absolutely. That confidence is so important when you're navigating criticism.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you be open to feedback without feeling attacked or getting defensive. You know, even the most accomplished people out there have faced tons of criticism.
It's funny you say that because the book actually mentions a few famous authors and artists.
Oh, really?
Who were totally rejected over and over before they finally made it big.
Wow.
Imagine if they'd let all that early criticism crush them and just given up.
Yeah.
We might not have some of the amazing books and art we love today.
That's so true.
It's a good reminder that even the best ideas sometimes get met with resistance at first. It's all about having that resilience to keep going, to trust your instincts, and to keep getting better even when the doubts start creeping in.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of courage to keep pushing forward when people are telling you to quit. But speaking of courage, let's talk more about the inner critic, the one that can often do the most damage because it's always there, planting those seeds of doubt.
Yeah, for sure. It's like that voice is always in the back of your mind.
Right. And the book actually suggests some really interesting strategies for taming that beast.
Oh, I'm all ears. Lame on me.
One that I find super helpful is mindfulness. Remember we talked about that earlier?
Yeah.
The pause button analogy.
Well, yeah.
Just noticing those negative thoughts without judging yourself. You can start to separate yourself from their power.
It's like you're observing them, but you're not letting them control you.
Exactly. The book also talks about actively challenging those negative thoughts, putting them on trial, like demanding evidence.
Oh, okay.
You basically become a detective in your own mind. Ask yourself, is this thought really true? What proof do I have? Is it even helpful to be thinking about this?
So it's about questioning those thoughts instead of just accepting them as fact.
Yeah. And often when you shine a light on them, they lose their power.
We're learning to spot the difference between the thoughts that actually help us and the ones that just hold us back.
You got it. It's about creating a more positive and encouraging voice inside your head. So instead of beating yourself up over past mistakes, see them as opportunities to learn and grow.
Yeah, love that.
Remind yourself of what you've accomplished and focus on your strengths.
I am all about positive self-talk. It might sound cheesy, but it can make such a difference. When you choose to focus on your strengths and your past successes, it really can change your whole mindset.
It's about creating a more supportive environment inside your head.
Yeah. Instead of being your own worst enemy, be your own best friend.
Right. And I think that connects to the idea of setting goals, too.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
When you have clear goals and a sense of purpose, it keeps you motivated and helps you stay focused on the positive.
It's like you have this compass guiding you forward, even when those self-doubts pop up.
Exactly. Goals give you direction and something to work towards. They help you stay on track. But you know, one thing that really stood out to me in the book was this idea that constructive criticism, the kind that's meant to help you get better, is actually more valuable than praise.
Wait, really? That seems kind of counterintuitive. Isn't praise a good thing?
Of course, praise can be motivating in the moment. But think about it. While praise might feel good, it doesn't necessarily push you to grow. Constructive criticism, on the other hand, gives you specific feedback that you can use to actually improve your skills and knowledge.
It's like the difference between a sugar rush and a healthy meal. Praise gives you a temporary boost, but constructive criticism nourishes you for the long haul.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
And the book says you shouldn't just wait around for constructive criticism to fall into your lap. You can actually seek it out.
Okay.
Ask for feedback from people you trust, like mentors, colleagues, or even friends who are experts in areas where you're trying to grow.
I love that. Being proactive about your growth.
Yeah.
It takes courage to ask for feedback, especially when you're feeling vulnerable, but the rewards can be huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the book gives some really helpful tips on how to get the most out of constructive criticism. First, be a good listener, and don't be afraid to ask questions to make sure you really understand the feedback.
Mm.
Second, show your appreciation for the effort the person is making to help you. And finally, take some time to process the feedback and come up with a plan to use it.
It sounds like you're turning criticism into this team effort where you're working with the critic to get better and achieve your goals.
Precisely. And that brings us to the book's final point. Having a clear process for dealing with criticism can make all the difference. It's like having a set of tools ready to go so you're not caught off guard when the critiques start coming your way.
It's like having a plan of attack.
Exactly. So step one is figuring out what type of criticism you're dealing with. Is it irrelevant? Is it coming from your inner critic? Or is it actually constructive? That's going to determine how you handle it.
Okay, so filter out the noise and focus on the good stuff. What's next?
Next, really listen to the feedback and ask any questions you need to make sure you're both on the same page.
Got it. Then comes the hard part, actually responding to the criticism without getting defensive or feeling like you have to explain yourself. What's the best way to do that?
Remember, even if the feedback is tough to hear, try to thank the person for sharing their thoughts. They've taken the time and put in the effort, so acknowledge that. And then give yourself some time to think it over. You don't have to react right away.
So take a breath, let it sink in. What then? Just accept it and move on.
Not quite. This is where you come up with a plan for how you're going to use the feedback. If it's constructive, think about what concrete steps you can take to improve. And don't be afraid to go back to the person for more feedback as you work on things. It's about making criticism an ongoing conversation, a way to keep learning and growing.
It's like taking back control and saying, criticism, you don't get to dictate my life. I'm going to use you to get even better.
Exactly. And as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave you with a question. What's one area of your life where you could benefit from seeking out more constructive criticism? It might be a little uncomfortable at first, but remember, real growth often happens outside of our comfort zone.
That's a great question to think about. And while you're mulling that over, we'll be back in part three to explore how we can all become better critics ourselves, not just of other people, but of our own work and ideas too. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to the final part of our deep dive on criticism. We've talked about why it can feel so tough to hear and how to handle it like a champ, but now it's time to switch gears.
Yeah, let's flip the script.
And look at how we can all become better critics ourselves.
You know, we tend to focus so much on how to take criticism.
Yeah.
But the book reminds us that we all give criticism too, right?
For sure.
Whether it's giving feedback to someone at work, reviewing something, or even just judging our own work, we've got to do it in a way that actually helps.
So it's not just about taking a punch, it's also about knowing how to throw one.
That's a great way to put it. And the book really emphasizes that giving good criticism is a skill you can actually learn. It's about learning how to give feedback that's both honest and helpful. Feedback that helps people grow instead of tearing them down.
Okay, I'm all in. Let's learn how to be constructive critics. What are the key things to keep in mind?
Well, the most important thing is to remember that your goal is to help someone improve, not to make them feel bad.
Right.
So you approach it with empathy and a genuine desire to help them grow.
So more like a coach than a judge.
Exactly. A good coach guides and supports, right?
Yeah.
They help the person see where they can improve, but they also point out their strengths. They're not there to condemn. They're there to help the player step up their game.
I love that analogy. The book also mentions focusing on specific behaviors instead of making general statements about the person's character. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Sure. So let's say someone's always late. Instead of saying you're always late, which feels like an attack on them as a person.
Yeah.
You could try saying something like, hey, I noticed you've been late to the last couple of meetings. Is there anything going on that's making it hard to be on time?
So you're being specific and giving them a chance to explain.
Right. It's about giving them concrete information they can actually work with.
Instead of just making them feel bad?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're describing the behavior without judging them as a person.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Okay, so what about how you deliver the feedback? The book also talked about timing and how you say things, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Choosing the right time and place is super important. Think about it. Would you want to get criticized in front of a bunch of people?
No. Not really my idea of a good time.
Right. Exactly. So be mindful of the setting. And when you give the feedback, be calm, be respectful, and don't use language that sounds like you're accusing them of anything.
Yeah, you're not trying to start a fight. You're trying to help.
Exactly. And one more important thing the book highlighted. Try to balance the criticism with some positive reinforcement, too.
So, like, point out what they're doing well, not just what they need to work on.
Yeah. It's all about creating an environment where the person feels both valued and encouraged. They need to know you believe in them, even if there are some things they can improve.
So, like, the classic feedback sandwich. Start with something good, add the criticism in the middle, and then end on another positive note.
That's one way to do it. It's about finding a balance.
You know, one of the things that really stood out to me in the book is that you can't expect other people to be open to your criticism if you're not open to hearing it yourself.
So true. We have to practice what we preach. Being open to feedback, even if it's not always what we want to hear, shows that we're humble and that we're willing to learn and grow.
Yeah.
Nobody likes a know-it-all who dishes out criticism but can't take it themselves.
So be open to feedback, give feedback respectfully. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you create an environment where everyone feels safe to share their ideas and help each other get better.
That's the kind of place I'd love to work, where everyone's supporting each other and pushing each other to be their best.
Absolutely. And to wrap up our deep dive today, I want to leave you with one final thought. Think about how you can apply these principles of constructive criticism, not just to the feedback you give others, but to how you evaluate yourself, too.
Ooh, that's a good one. We are often our own worst critics, right?
It's so true. So learning to give ourselves that same kind of thoughtful, constructive feedback that we would give a friend, that can be really powerful.
It's all about learning and growing, right?
Exactly.
All right, so let's all try to become more skillful critics, both of others and ourselves. Remember, criticism, when it's given and received in the right way, can be an amazing tool for positive change.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm.
We can really transform our relationship with criticism from something we dread to something that empowers us.
I love that. That's a fantastic note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of criticism. We hope you learned some valuable stuff that you can use to navigate this unavoidable part of life. And until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep diving deep.